So good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that all of you who are here today on Zoom have joined us. So glad to get to be with you this morning. And for those of you who watch this later, I'm glad that you've joined us online to watch the sermon. And so I will tell you all right now that you're going to need a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper to write on during this talk. And so I invite you to go ahead and grab that right now so that you'll have it when we're ready. And so as we begin our service today, I'm going to share with you our mission statement. And so if you know it, I invite you to say it along with me. And if you don't, I invite you just to take it in. It says, "We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we become a beneficial presence in the world. No, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world." And so you know that is what we are all up to here at Living Beyond Limits, as we're giving ourselves the opportunity to remember that, yes, indeed, we are essentially spiritual beings, that we are here bringing that one and only divine presence, which is called by many names, whether you call it the Christ light or the presence of God or our own Buddha nature or light or love, whatever you want to call it. We are each here acting as a conduit for that presence. We are each here bringing that into the world in a way that is healing in our own lives and in a way that is healing to those that are around us. And so as we wake up to the fact that the presence of the divine is always within us, that it is a presence of love, and that it is a presence of peace, then we have access to that peace and to that love when the world isn't reflecting it back to us. So when we are in a situation where somebody isn't being kind or things don't feel peaceful, we can step into that situation as the one that is loving, the one that is peaceful, and it changes the dynamics of what is happening. And not only does it change the dynamics of that particular conversation, yes, it also changes the energy of what is happening. And so I thank each and every single one of you for participating in the giving way of that presence into this world, in waking up to your own divine nature, and in being a beneficial presence in this world. Thank you so much for that. And so as we begin our service this morning, our practitioner, David Conant, is going to lead us in an evocation as we evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are and do a contemplative reading for us. And we are also, prior to that, we are going to listen to the words of Denise Rosier as she sings We Are. The words will actually be up on your screen. So if you would like to join in singing, I invite you to do that. If you just want to sit with your eyes closed, I invite you to do that. You're all muted, so don't worry if anybody's going to hear you sing, and just let those words take you a little deeper.
We are one, we are one, we are all one in God, and we are love, we are. We are all the love of God. Beauty surrounds me, falling at my feet. As I hear the calling of the Holy, we are whole. We are all the strength of God. Beauty surrounds me, falling at my feet. As I hear the calling of the Holy Spirit,
I move my awareness to the place within where I recognize a spiritual presence. This is how I know I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I don't have to do anything to experience a spiritual presence because I am a spiritual being. My oneness with spirit is a universal presence, meaning this is also true for everyone here today and for everyone everywhere. But it's even more than that. Everything we see and do is done in the presence of spirit. All creation is a divine and blessed presence. Having said that, I can now say, affirm, and confirm that what we call the One Source is present here as Living Beyond Limits and in this activity we call church. I bless Living Beyond Limits. I bless Reverend Jennifer for creating Living Beyond Limits and for the good that has come to each one of us through her spiritual presence. I bless Ray for his divine love and light. I bless all spiritual paths, and I bless everyone here today. And I know we all have a companion with our souls, and so it is. Good morning. My reading today comes from The Art of Being Yourself by Frank Richelieu. And it comes from a section called Forgiveness Heals. We must learn to forgive others. We must learn to forgive situations and conditions. But most of all, we must learn to forgive ourselves. To forgive means to gain a new sense of peace. To forgive means to replace the old with something new. To forgive means to give up all in harmony. Forgiving and forgetting go hand in hand, and you cannot accomplish the forgiveness as long as you are not willing to forget. Forgiveness is a giving up of one thing so something better can come into your life. It is a very freeing process. It leaves you with a clean mental and emotional state to start fresh and new. Progress in forgiveness will be made when you sit down and say, whatever I need to forgive in my consciousness, I forgive. I drag no burdens of unforgiveness around with me. I travel light and free. I need all of myself clear and unburdened to put into the present living of my life. I free my consciousness of any weights of unforgiveness which have held me back. And so, true forgiveness is the greatest healing power that ever existed. Quickly, you will say, I thought love was the greatest healing power in the universe. We cannot forgive without loving. Letting go and the loving flow hand, follow hand, and hand in hand. If you love, you are not holding on to anything in your mind. Love and forgiveness is a deep understanding and a willingness to go along with life. With this understanding comes a realization that our hurts are petty compared to what love and forgiveness can do in our life. And so it is.
Running till my bones are aching, pushing past the point of breaking. The road is long, but I will make it, that's who I am. It's not this race, but how I'm running. Not who I was, who I'm becoming. Steady on, I'll finish strong on this path. My strength, I'm never stranded, I'm not alone.
How fun is that, huh? I love it. I love it. Very fun. Makes me feel like we're in the room together, getting to be together, hearing that singing. It's very fun. And so we are continuing with our series that is about creating a culture of peace as we continue to participate in the Season for Nonviolence. But also today we are beginning a project called the Kindness Project. And we're going to be doing that for the month of February, which is the month of love. And so what's going to happen is today, when you receive that email that tells you the video is up, there will also be a link on that email that comes out to a PDF document that you can print out. And what it has on that document is a space for every day of the week to write down a kindness that you shared with someone and a kindness that was shared with you. And so we're going to do that as a project for the month of February. And if for some reason you don't get that email, Ray is going to put a link to that PDF also on our website. So you can do that. And if you don't want to write it on that little piece of paper, I invite you to take a journal and to do that, to write down every day a kindness that you shared and a kindness that was shared with you. And so during this series that we've been doing, we talked recently about forgiving others and how we forgive others so that we can be at peace, so that we can once again have a sense of well-being. And what happened is quite a few people shared with me afterwards that where they really get caught is in forgiving themselves rather than forgiving other people. That seems to be the bigger issue for them. And so today I'm going to talk about self-forgiveness as part of creating that culture of peace. I know that every single one of us wants to have inner peace. We want to have a sense of well-being, and we certainly don't want to feel bad about ourselves. We'd much rather feel good about ourselves. We also want to be able to be a presence of good and bring good into the world. We want to be able to share our light and to share our love and to shine that light and make a positive difference for those around us. But what happens is when we are holding ourselves in harsh judgment for something that we have done or for something that we have said, and then we continue to punish ourselves, we continue to beat ourselves up and tell ourselves how rotten we are, what happens is it makes us feel insecure. It makes us feel inadequate. And when we hold ourselves in unforgiveness, it certainly doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, it makes it harder for us to shine our light. It makes it harder for us to be a loving presence. It makes it harder for us to bring good in the world because we already feel kind of empty. We already feel this grayness inside of us. And so it's not as easy then to be that beneficial, loving presence in the world. And certainly when we are continuing to give ourselves a hard time and beat ourselves up, it doesn't make us feel peaceful and it doesn't make us feel good. Studies actually show that harsh criticism is strongly related to depression and to dissatisfaction with life. Ernest Holmes told us, "The universe holds nothing against us. Nothing is gained by holding on to past errors." And Aldous Huxley said, "If you have behaved badly, repent, make amends when you can, and address yourself to the task of behaving better next time. On no account brood over your wrongdoing. Rolling in the muck is not the way to get clean." Rolling in the muck is not the way to get clean. When we feel clean, we live our best life. When we feel clean, we bring our best selves to this world. And I think that sometimes we continue to give ourselves a hard time. We continue to beat ourselves up because for those mistakes or those blunders that we've made, because we think that if we don't, we'll become lazy, we'll become selfish, we'll continue to make that blunder or that mistake over and over and over again. But you know what? Just like we talked about in forgiving others, forgiving ourselves does not mean and is not saying that what we did was okay. It's not saying that what we did was right. Forgiving ourselves is not saying that we didn't hurt someone or that there weren't consequences to our action or that we didn't create damage. What forgiving ourselves is saying and what it does mean is that we're not going to continue to live that scenario over and over again. It means that we aren't going to continue to rehash what we did or what we said. And it means that we aren't going to make that event our identity and make it who we are. I think that's part of the problem is sometimes when we make a mistake, when we do something that we judge ourselves for that we think is bad, that instead of it being about what we did, we make it about who we are. We then think that we are rotten or that we are careless or that we are stupid. It wasn't a careless act. We are careless. It wasn't a stupid thing to do. Now we are stupid. You forgot your friend's birthday, so then you tell yourself and you believe that you're a rotten friend. Or you accidentally leave the laundry in the washing machine for days in a row, and when you go to get it because you forgot it, it smells, and then you tell yourself that you're careless and that you're stupid. Or if you said something that hurt someone's feelings, you tell yourself what a horrible person you are. But I have a question for you. Are you really a horrible person? I mean, look inside. Are you really a horrible person? Are you really stupid? Are you really careless? When you look at your life, are you really careless? I'd like to share a story with you out of A Daily Dose of Sanity. He says, during my high school years, I walked to school each morning with my buddy, George. One day, as an act of affection, I reached my arm around George's shoulder. My friend was uncomfortable with this gesture and politely shrugged my arm off. I felt embarrassed, and we both said nothing. Before long, we were off to college and went our separate ways. For a long time, however, when I thought about George, I recalled that awkward moment. Many years later, I reconnected with George, and we began to reminisce. I confessed, sometimes I still feel funny about that morning when I put my arm around your shoulder and you tossed it off. George looked perplexed. I don't remember that at all, he told me sincerely. All I remember is that you waited for me every morning, even in the rain. I was stunned. For all those years, one of my primary memories of my friendship with George was my perceived error. Meanwhile, all he remembered was the good. What a waste of my thoughts and energy. And how wonderful it felt to know that George always appreciated me. While we may have alternative futures, you also have many alternative pasts. Out of the billions of experiences in your life, you've chosen to focus only on a small number of selected events in your, quote, past. You may think of events A, G, M, and W as your past, but you could also define your past as events B, D, R, and Z. If you focus on traumatic and self-defeating moments in your past, your future will replicate them. If you focus on empowering and self-honoring events, those are the ones that you will repeat. Even if you have painful experiences, you can reframe them as stepping stones to where you now stand. If you learned from them, they were helpful. Bless all of your past and your present, and your future will be an even greater blessing. What if the purpose of regret were simply to modify our behavior in the future? What if that were its only purpose? What if regret's purpose, regret was simply a tool for introspection, like a video camera with no judgment, just to look at what happened and to ask yourself without judgment, why did I do that? Was there a need that I was trying to get met? Could I have done it differently? Could I do it in the future differently? What if you just called that regret, oh yeah, that's my button for introspection. Oh yeah, I'm not going to call it regret. It's a button that says, oh, that's so I can look to see if I want to do it differently next time. What if we used those situations and those feelings of regret for growth and for self-discovery and for becoming more of who we are in our potential, and to allow it just to be the thing that enables us to be who we are becoming? Thich Nhat Hanh said, we practice like the lotus flower and mud. The flower does not think, I do not want the mud. The lotus knows that it can bloom beautifully only because of the mud. Those mistakes, those things that we regret, help us bloom more beautifully in the future because they allow us to make a decision about how we want to be in the world, who we want to be in the world, what we want to do in the world. We are called to remember that everything supports us in our growth, that everything supports our unfolding, everything supports our self-discovery and who we really are on the inside. Everything has a purpose, and that is for us to discover our own greater yet to be and to bring that forward. So we own what we did, we apologize, we make amends, we make reparations, we right what is wrong, and then we move forward with new insight, with new appreciation, with a new way of being in the world. And so there is a tool that is being used in our society a lot lately, and I don't know if you know about it, it's called restorative justice. And they're using it in prisons, and they're using it in schools, and they're using it all sorts of places. And in restorative justice, what happens is two people work with a mediator, but the person who was the victim of whatever happened, a crime often, or at school, it's not necessarily a crime, but it's bad behavior. The person who is the victim and the person who is the perpetrator get together. And the person who is the victim gets to share with the perpetrator how that event affected them, what it did to them, how they felt about it, what happened in their life as a result of it. So the perpetrator has a greater understanding of their actions and the effect that their actions had. And then together, the two of them decide how best to right the wrong. What can be done to right that wrong? So the person learns about their impact, and it enables them to take responsibility for what they've done. And when they get to take responsibility and apologize, it enables them to move forward clean. And there are so many stories out there about people who have been criminals or teenagers who are problems in society, and how being able to do that turned their lives around and enabled them to be a productive part of society. There's a story about a boy who was kind of a hoodlum and threw a ball through a neighbor's window and didn't want to take responsibility and didn't say anything about it, and how the neighbor saw him do it And it wasn't until a few days later, he said, hey, I think I have something of yours. And he holds up the ball. And not just did he ask for an apology, but he said, what I'd like you to do is to do some work in my yard to make some money and to come help me replace the window. And so he went and bought the window and taught the young man how to put in a window. That young man, it changed his life. He was respected. He was honored. He was supported. And he did some work in the man's yard to pay for the window and felt good about it and was able to let it go and move forward. And out of being supported like that, he went to work then at the youth center, working with youth and helping them feel supported and making good decisions. So when we take responsibility for what we've done, when we are able to apologize, when we're able to make it right, whatever that looks like, that frees us. It frees us from carrying the burden. It frees us from holding ourselves in judgment. It frees us from feeling like we are a terrible person and allows us to be our best in life. I know that sometimes what happens is it's not even that we are afraid of the repercussions or the judgment of the other person's response that we've hurt or that we've done something to, but what we're really afraid of is our own self-hate that follows that action, that follows what it is that we've done. But if we own it, if we apologize, if we make it right, we get to step out of that self-criticism. We get to step forward clean and whole and getting to be the loving being that we are. But I want to know, who in the world ever told you that you were supposed to be perfect? Kristen Neff said, critical parents tend to play the role of both good cop and bad cop with their kids, in the hope that they will then be able to mold their children into being who they want them to be. Bad cop punishes undesirable behavior, and good cop rewards desirable behavior. This leads to fear and distrust among children, who soon come to believe that only by being perfect are they worthy of love. We take on the idea then from what our parents said, the critical parents, the getting in trouble, whatever your parents said, those kinds of things. We come to believe that we are only lovable or worthy of love when we are perfect. But you know, Marianne Williamson said, we are not held back by the love we did not receive in the past, but we are held back by the love that we are not extending in the present. We are held back by the love that we are not extending to ourselves in the present. That's the only thing that keeps us from healing and from moving forward. But I think it behooves us to recognize that often the way we talk to ourselves was how our parents talked to us, or whoever those figures were in our early life that made such an impact. And we repeat that kind of talk. But to know that today you get to make a different choice. Today you get to extend the love so that you might heal and be your best self. And so what if it really weren't about being perfect? And what if it really weren't even about self-forgiveness or forgiving yourself? What if instead it was really just about self-acceptance? What if it was just about accepting yourself as you are, where you are, how you are? And then that self-acceptance effortlessly takes us to a place of compassion. Jean Claude Coven said, self-awareness can quickly turn to self-consciousness. As each new observation is coupled with a judgment, and an attempt to fix our, quote, faults and improve our, quote, virtues. Before long, we become hopelessly entangled in a struggle against our own psyche, spending countless hours and endless effort trying to become, quote, the person we think we ought to be. By way of contrast, when we look away from our own slight transgressions and consider the nature of human experience, we discover a very interesting thing, that most of what we thought was wrong with us was simply a part of the human condition. What if you held your mistakes in that light? This is just a part of the human condition. We all make mistakes. We all say things that we would like to take back. We all hurt others. We all disappoint people. It's part of the human condition. And it makes us human. And so the title of my talk today is Self-Service. Forgiving ourselves, accepting ourself, serves our capital S self. Forgiving ourselves serves our capital S self. Forgiving ourselves serves the divine. Because when we forgive ourselves and accept ourselves, we become the clearer conduit for that presence to express in the world, for that love of spirit to flow through. Self-acceptance, followed by compassion and integrity, meaning doing what is right, makes us feel good. It makes us feel good about ourselves. And in turn, it enables us to bring our light and our love into this world in a greater way. And so you don't even have to believe me. Find out for yourself. So here's the time that you're going to need something to write with and write on. And I invite you just to close your eyes for a minute. And to ask yourself, if I am highly critical with myself, how does that make me feel? If you are highly critical with yourself, how does it make you feel? And when you have that answer, to go ahead and write it down. And then close your eyes again to ask yourself, what are the consequences of being so hard on myself? What are the consequences of being so hard on myself? Does it make me feel more motivated, or does it tend to make me discouraged? Does it tend to make me depressed? Does it tend to make me feel like the wind has been taken out of my sails? What are the consequences of you being so hard on yourself? And then to close your eyes again and to say, ask, how do you think you would feel if you could truly accept yourself exactly as you are? How would things be if you could truly accept yourself as you are? Again, how would I feel if I could truly accept myself exactly as I am? And how would things be different in my life or in my experience if I could accept myself exactly as I am? So my invitation to you this week is to know that your imperfection is perfectly perfect. To know that you aren't meant to be perfect already. You are meant to unfold yourself. You are meant to discover more and more and more about your own divine nature. You are meant to continuously unfold, not just last week or last month, to continuously unfold your own greater yet to be. And there will always be more. There will always be more to unfold until you evolve so far that you just turn into a flash of light. And I have yet to see anybody do that on planet Earth yet. And so accept yourself and treat yourself with compassion and have integrity. Take responsibility for your words and your actions so that in turn you can love in a greater way. And know that your mistakes are just a part of the human condition and they're part of being human. After all, you are human. Just use those mistakes so that you can learn and so that you can grow and so that you can bring something different forward the next time, something better. And as a result, you will be experiencing greater peace, creating a culture of peace around you, in your household and in your relationships and the places that you go. And you'll be bringing your light to this world in an ever greater way. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of discovering your own divine nature, of giving yourself the room and the space to do that, and to be being a beneficial presence to yourself as well as to those around you. So blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I turn my attention to that infinite presence, that presence that is the very essence of love and the essence of wholeness, that is the essence of good itself. And I realize that this is the one that animates all things. This is the one that expresses in and through and around and as each and every single one of us on this planet. For it is truly the only power that there is and the only presence that there is. And so what that means then is that each and every single one of us as individuations of this presence are individuations of good itself. That no matter what we see on the surface, good is within us. And the thing that fans this good and allows it to grow and allows it to come forward is love. And so the love of the divine is already present within each and every single one of us. And today we consciously fan the flame of love so that it enables our good to come forward in a greater way and enables the good of others around us to come forward in a greater way. We step forward into this world as a presence of peace and as a presence of love. And we shine that light everywhere we go. And we see the good around us. And we see the good within us. And so we take responsibility today as supporters of our own spiritual growth, as the catalyst through which that happens, as those beings who are dedicated to God. And we fan the flame within us so that we might be this greater presence of peace and beauty and creativity and goodness. And we do that by being loving. And so it is with a grateful heart for the love that lives within us and for the love that lives within each and every single one of us that I give thanks. We call that love forward in ourselves and we call it forward in others across this entire world. For I know that just as we are that good and are that love, so is everyone else. And so today I know that as we look to it and as we look for it and as we accept it as the truth, that is magnified, not just in our experience, but in this world. And for that, I am grateful. And so as we live today in alignment with God, with Spirit, with the One, we are blessed and we are a blessing. And so with that, I release this prayer into the infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is done because we have said yes. We have said yes to that. Yes to love. Yes to peace. And yes to self-acceptance. And so I release this word and I say, thank you, God. And so it is. And so let's see, I have just a couple of invitations for you. One is to look for that email that will have that kindness project in it. And two, we will be back here again this coming week online. And then the following week, which is the 20th, we will be back at Skylink. So we invite you to be there with us. And on the 20th also, we are going to have a potluck at Chris Braunschweiger and Peggy Toole's house after service. So if you'd like to bring a dish and share it, we invite you to do that. If for some reason you aren't able to bring a dish that day, come join us anyway. It'll be really nice to get to be together and to hang out and just to get to be in the company of each other outside in their backyard. So we'd love to see you there. I think that's it. We have an annual meeting coming up. I was going to pick that date and I didn't do it. So I will announce that this week and next week online. And so we're going to actually do our annual meeting this year on Zoom again and do it on a Saturday morning. So I hope all of you can be there. We'll talk about what we've done and where we're headed and look at our financials for the year and approve a budget for next year. So I will let you know about that and we'll see you there. And so I invite you to stay after if you'd like to stay and have a little chat about this talk and what you came up with or how it affects you or whatever your thoughts are about it. And if you don't, you want to just head on into your day, we invite you to do that, encourage you to do that. So know that you are loved, Know that we are so grateful that you are a part of this family and that we hold you in our hearts, whether we are together or not, and just blessings. And I'm so grateful that you were here. So stay if you want to. Otherwise, have a fabulous day.